This is Stuart Richardson Ward, and across the microphone from me sits Major General Edwin A. Walker, holder of the Silver Star, Bronze Star with Oak Leaf Cluster, senior paratrooper badge after 47 jumps in a parachute, and who fought in 11 campaigns, including Anzio, Rhineland, and Korea. Major General Walker resigned from the Army, refusing retirement benefits to be free to speak his views on great issues, and his topic to the Commonwealth Club of California in an address in the Garden Court, I should have said, in the Rose Room and in the concert room of the Hotel Palace in San Francisco was U.S. or U.N. General Walker, after your opening remarks referring to the fact that this is Flag Day, you were adverted to the subject of the Monroe Doctrine, which you said you thought had settled the question as to what flag we were loyal to. What did you have in mind, General, as to the Monroe Doctrine in connection with our flag, sir?
For many years, leading troops all over the world on four continents, at least seven nationalities of troops to include Americans, we have always felt that the Monroe Doctrine was in effect, that it was a necessity, that with regard to the Constitution, there had to be a Monroe Doctrine, that they were inseparable, that the Constitution protected individual rights, and the Monroe Doctrine went further in protecting our national and international interests. We have carried the flag around the world, and the military forces still do it today, and certainly it is with respect to the defense and the national security of this country, which is backed by the Monroe Doctrine, or possibly the troops backed the Monroe Doctrine. Either way, it is inseparable from the Constitution of the United States.
And General Walker, you said that you had decided, after some thought, to resign from being no longer a member of either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Would you like to give us your grounds for making that decision, sir?
The control and management of both parties through the party machinery is one and the same. Changing parties or changing administrations, Republican or Democrat, does not change and has not changed our failing policy, our no-win policy throughout the world, which has been going on for at least 20 to 30 years. Neither party has sworn an oath of office to the Constitution. As a party and as an administration, neither has stopped the advance of communism one foot in any direction. Today, the communists are on Cuba, only 90 miles away. So the party system, which is the basis of our administration and the development of our form of government, is not working under its single management and control. In 1964, the people will be voting for one thing. The issue is the United Nations, their choice, the United Nations or the United States. Kennedy and Rockefeller will both, or either one, will be running on a United Nations platform. I cannot say who will be running on the United States platform. That remains to be seen. But the issue is the United Nations or the U.S.
Supposing somebody should say that when you said that we should change our loyalty from our party to our nation, that was going too far, that we had two established parties, and you know the basis for maintaining adherence to a party, saying that it proposes to have responsible leadership and that sort of thing, General. What would be your comment on that, sir?
My comment is that the national issues are the important one, the international issue. And our responsibility is to that issue. And we have not had that responsibility, and the party system has kept us from having it by fighting, implementing the fights on every street corner between Republican and Democrat. There we fight to exhaustion at the polls, financially as well. And we get the same thing in our international policy, which is a no-win policy.
And you feel, did you not, in your talk to the Commonwealth Club of California this noon, that there is no longer any control by the American people? Did you say that you feel that the American policy under either political administration is controlled by the United Nations and that that stems out of New York City?
I said that the parties were being controlled either and managed and controlled at Washington or out of the United Nations city, where the Rockefellers seem to abound. This is where party control and the party machinery, one and both, are operating, and both support each other. A liberal Rockefeller will vote for a liberal Kennedy or vice versa through the machinery in its support of either one or both. And so the American people, thinking that they have a choice, are divided, and intentionally so, so that they are not effective. If there is another party in the United States, it would necessarily and have to be, and practically is, the Communist Party. That is the third party. If anybody is interested in another party, they would have to start the fourth or fifth party. As we know, Khrushchev said to Drew Pearson when he visited Moscow that he did not release the two flyers during the campaign between Kennedy and Nixon because it would have helped Nixon. He waited until after the election so that he could release the flyers and in order that it would help Kennedy. So this, you see, absolute interference in the politics of this country by the communists from Moscow.
Well, after all, this taking over of Cuba was a complete surprise to all of us, including the State Department and the military, was it not?
It seems to have been to us a surprise to everybody in the United States that you've referred to. It certainly is no surprise at all. It was inevitable with such a policy, which Senator Strom Thurmond, the great senator from South Carolina, has pointed out continuously, and again in the Muslingen hearing investigation in Washington. They have pointed out that a no-win policy must lose, and Cuba was inevitable. We have sat in our homes 5 years ago in military posts discussing over a cup of coffee what would happen if missiles were on Cuba pointing at the American people. This was 5 years ago. This is no surprise. It was inevitable with such a policy. Now, of course, they are talking in the United Nations about the possible neutral zone to include Alaska and part of Siberia, forming a two-area combined zone up there and placing it under the United Nations. This is coming right out of the United Nations, and it was leaked, of course, by Harold E. Stassen in a Milwaukee release on May the 4th, which was his recommendation that we establish a neutral zone in Alaska and in Siberia, placing this neutral zone under the United Nations for control. If this is so, why not place Florida and Cuba in a neutral zone? Florida is closer to Cuba than Alaska is to Siberia by maybe 10, 15, or 20 miles. So why not do the same for Florida and Cuba?
General Walker, pardon me, it was 110 years ago that Abraham Lincoln, in a letter to Erastus Carney, made the statement that the people who were infiltrating the federal forces and the nation were in every department of government and nearly all communities of the people. Do you see any comparison with Abraham Lincoln's letter of 110 years ago and the present situation in the State Department and in Washington, sir?
I doubt in that area they recognize the seriousness or the complete identities of an anti-American force that has infiltrated this country in every area. However, it is comparable to the extent that there is such a force. There has always been a force of evil in the world. Everybody has had to fight Satan, and of course Satan is being used as the front man for the communist conspiracy. He is backed by the sword. He has infiltrated every daily activity of our lives on every street corner in America. He is the front, and he is a continuous threat always. Today, we are more threatened by the increased efforts on the part of Khrushchev, who has organized the Satan forces of the world to destroy the American system.
You said, sir, that there should be an investigation of the State Department. Did you have any idea in mind concretely, General Walker, as to how that might be done?
Certainly Congress, our Congress, should demand an investigation in all areas with respect to Cuba, with respect to the UN, with respect to our plan for disarmament by placing all of our armed forces as programmed by our State Department and published under the pamphlet from the U.S. Bureau of Documents, number 7277, which can be gotten from the U.S. government. It is the State Department's program for placing all of our armed forces and all of our weapons under the United Nations, retaining only those weapons necessary for our internal police. This sort of investigation should stem from the Congress to establish what is the future of the sovereignty of the nation. actually sovereignty of a nation is not just a cloud flying over the Pacific or the Atlantic. Sovereignty extends into every home in America. It's the right of choice and the right of decision that is made in every family in America every day with respect to which church, which school, which business, whatever you do, is the sovereignty of a family's right to express its independence and make its own decisions. So sovereignty not only extends to the sovereignty maintained by the Monroe Doctrine, but it goes through every echelon of our community and society right into the home. The loss of sovereignty at any echelon in this country means the loss of all sovereignty. And placing the forces of our armed forces under the United Nations is certainly a loss of sovereignty. The right to make war is the important thing. We should never make war except when necessary. But the right to make war is the key to sovereignty. It is the key to property rights, the man's right to hold the garden fence between two gardens, his and his neighbor, where it is today. That is sovereignty, and that is his right, which he protects under the laws of the land.
Major General Edwin A. Walker, in your talk to the Commonwealth Club of California today, I understood you to say that if we declare war, we must get Russia's approval through the UN. Would you like to briefly document that, sir?
I did not say we had to get Russia's approval. I said we had to get United Nations approval. United Nations, of course, I have referred to as being controlled by the communists and their satellite and neutral countries to a great extent. And certainly they have the power of veto in the Security Council and in every other area of the United Nations. So basically that is control of our foreign policy. And Cuba was policy that came out of the United Nations. The United Nations supported Khrushchev in his takeover of Cuba. The United Nations is the only place in the world where an international force can be planned, formed, supervised, and make a 7,000-mile attack and take an island, the greatest attack, the greatest assault, the greatest victory in history that man has ever known. 7,000 miles he takes Cuba without a single shot fired. This has to be controlled out of the United Nations so that a great multi-billion-dollar military establishment in America has to back up as he comes forward.
But General Walker, as you know, it is said that had we moved in with any military force in Cuba, that Khrushchev would have moved in, we would have had a world atomic war. What's your comment on that, sir?
7,000 miles with all our military forces, probably costing the American public $500 billion over the last 20 to 30 years. Certainly Khrushchev would not have started a nuclear war. He wouldn't have dared start a nuclear war on the end of a supply line that was 7,000 miles long. We were told during the time of Korea, both my 2 years in Korea and also in exploring in the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., that we could not fight Korea to conclusion, that we would have to compromise because our 6,000-mile line was too vulnerable, too vulnerable. This is not true. Now we turn it around and look and see that our supply line is only 90 miles long and the enemy's is 7,000 miles long.
And finally, General Walker, with respect to Mexico, you were asked whether or not that meant we will eventually be boxed in by taking over by communist forces directed towards Mexico. Do you believe that's possible, sir?
Mexico is one of the most important targets the communist has, and there's no doubt historically in their records you can find this. It is the final completion of the almost completion of the encirclement of the United States. Cardenas, ex-president of Mexico, supported Castro in his takeover of Cuba. Ex-president Cardenas, who is a very strong force in Mexico City.
Thank you very much, Major General Edwin A. Walker, for this interview on your talk before the Commonwealth Club, U.S. or U.N. And now may I announce that at the same time, same station, next week, I'll be interviewing for you the Honorable Cecil F. Poole, United States Attorney, San Francisco. His topic will be the Negro and equal justice.